Hello and welcome to this week's Off the Bench podcast with the Premier League. I'm Lee from FPL Family.
And I'm FPL Harry.
So game week 31 was the last opportunity for any managers that were planning to free hit in game week 32 to scout the players that they want. But it's also important for managers not free hitting in 32 to work out who they want to keep and bench and who can be sold. Harry, let's start with what I know was a particularly strong game week for you. How was it?
Game week 31 was pretty good. Happy to be coming on after a good week. It always feels like you're destined to have a poor week when you come on the podcast. But 95 points for me with a minus four. Very happy with it.
That is outrageous.
Yeah, the front line really doing it. So Haaland captain, Ollie Watkins, of course, who is very popular at the moment. And then Dom Solanke somehow coming in with a 15-pointer. Plus the double Liverpool, which I brought in of Trent with 9 and Salah with 14, made it an unforgettable game week, to be honest. How about you?
Nothing in those heady heights. And by the way, I'm not letting you get away without talking about your overall ranking a minute. I wanted to find out where you are in the world right now. It was a little bit below par for me. I was 62 points, which is okay. Like, it's okay. I had Haaland captain, which was fine. Ollie Watkins doing the business. I brought in Jack Grealish this week for the 7. But outside of that, it was kind of ones and twos all over the place. The Saka missed penalty was obviously a bit of a low point for the game week, but 62 points leaves me at about 66k in overall rank. So listen, that's okay. It was about a 10k rank drop. But yeah, now looking forward to attacking free hit 32. I'm going to be playing that chip in game week 32. We're going to talk about some of the options that I'm planning to bring in on the free hit 32. But 66k overall rank for me. What is your overall rank, Harry? Let's just get that out there right now.
So up to exactly 263rd in the world. I pretend like I don't know it,
but approximately. I know that by heart. Yeah. 263, and there's no K after that, right? You are 263rd in the world. I don't want to put any undue pressure on you, Harry, but you've got to be winning FPL from there.
God, the pressure's on now.
263, absolutely sensational, mate. Go on then, talk to me about your game week in a bit more detail. In particular, I'm interested in understanding your transfers in this week. Mo Salah and Trent Alexander-Arnold both in for you this week. And they performed in that 6-1 win that we saw. This has been recorded on Tuesday, and we saw Liverpool win against Leeds last night in that 6-1. What made you bring them in? And in particular, I'm interested in who your third Liverpool player might be, if you're going to go there on your free hit, or even if you're not going to free hit, who might the third Liverpool player be?
Yeah, so I brought Mo Salah in because I had a James Madison-shaped hole in my team. And I had quite a lot of money sat in the bank to do a couple of nice transfers because, of course, I didn't have Harry Kane in my team. I sold him going into the double a few weeks ago when he didn't have a double game week. I took that risk there. And I've been buying Liverpool, focusing on their double that they have coming up, of course, in game week 34. Particularly, they have two home fixtures that week, which I quite liked. I knew they had Leeds this week and then West Ham, the other side of the free hit in game week 33. And I thought, well, the form for Liverpool away from home has not been particularly great, but I knew that I needed to start buying them in. I needed to start investing in them. So I did that. And then later on, I took a late minus four to bring in Trent Alexander-Arnold in place of Rico Henry because Brentford defensively have been struggling as of late. In terms of free hit, I would probably be, again, looking Salah and Trent, I think, are pretty locked in, particularly with the positioning that I think Trent is starting to take up in that sort of midfield role. Yeah. It does mean that those over-the-top passes that he made, particularly for the Darwin goal, do seem like they're going to take place quite a lot more. And the assist potential does feel quite good, quite consistent. And then, of course, he has a set pieces on top of that. I think there's no doubt that if you're on free hit, Salah's going to be in the majority of teams. Looks good. Whether he stays on penalties is maybe up for debate, but he looks great from open play. He looks very confident again. Not necessarily something we've said from him about the majority of the season. And it is the third one that looks a little bit up for debate. And last night, I was hoping for a little bit of clarity. I originally had Robertson in there.
Yeah,
I thought,
me too.
Solid starts at home to Forest. And then there was a sloppy goal again from Liverpool. No clean sheet again for you. So I thought, well, maybe we look an attack. And then we saw Diego Jota score twice. We saw Gakpo score and get an assist. We saw Darwin come on and get a goal as well. At the moment, I think it's probably Gakpo just because that left-hand side with Jota versus Darwin, I feel like is much more congested than maybe we are going to see through the middle with Gakpo. At the moment, I would probably go Gakpo through the middle, but I find it hard and maybe I end up with a defender for a little bit of certainty. But as a Liverpool fan, where should we be investing?
Well, I totally agree with you about Mo Salah and Trent Alexander-Arnold. I mean, I wrote down some stats that I saw on Twitter just as I was coming onto the podcast about Trent Alexander-Arnold in that kind of João Cancelo-esque role that Pep Guardiola has kind of used João Cancelo in when he was a Manchester City player, and that sort of inverted midfield role. Two assists last night, 153 touches, which is the second most of any player across any game, right? So he was involved with a capital I, right? 124 accurate passes, 12 accurate long balls, 11 ball recoveries, 20 passes into the final third. You can reel out as many stats as you want. But then I wrote at the bottom of my notes, played with a smile on his face. And that is the first time in a long time that I've seen Trent play with a massive... He was so good, honestly, against Leeds. Really, really good. And as Liverpool fans, I think we've been almost kind of calling for Klopp to play him in that sort of slightly more midfield role in the team, given that, you know, he's had a little bit of a difficult season at right wing back, hasn't he? Interesting that you comment about Robertson, because, yeah, I thought it detracted a little bit from Robertson as an FPL asset, because he kind of slipped into that more, to continue the Man City metaphor, that kind of Ake role in the back three, whereas Trent was getting forward. The clipped ball over the top for Darwin Nunez for the final goal last night was sensational. So can you tell I'm a happy Liverpool fan this morning? Trent Alexander-Arnold is going to be in my team for the free hit in 32. But then if you look at the fixtures, as you rightly say, Harry, for Liverpool for the rest of the season, West Ham coming up in 33, the double, both at home in 34, but then 35 through to the end of the season at 38, Liverpool's fixtures look pretty good. I'm definitely not going to sit here and say we could make a late charge for fourth, although I might sit here and say we might make a late charge for fourth, for European football, let's say. So if you want to bring in Trent Alexander-Arnold for the free hit, I don't mind it. Well, actually, I like it a lot, obviously, and Mo Salah. But both of these guys should be in your team, I think, or at least being considered for your team for the rest of the season as transfers in. So those two, definitely. To answer your question about the third one, it is up for debate. I think if Trent continues to play that more inverted midfield role, probably takes Robertson out of the picture. Don't get me wrong, he's still bombed forward, you know, every now and again. And I think he was assisted the assister, if that makes sense, on a couple of occasions last night. But I don't think I would go Robbo. I think I would go for a forward player. It is an interesting one, isn't it? And it is difficult. I noticed that Darwin Nunez only got about 10 minutes of game time last night. And I wonder whether in a game where we had to aggressively press the ball and press high against Leeds last night, I know that Klopp particularly likes Diogo Jota for that setup. And we as Liverpool fans like him in that setup. He is probably the best counter-presser that we've got in that forward line, I think. And against Leeds away, you probably need him. But against Forest at home, when we're going to probably see more of the ball and have more of the ball, I wonder whether Darwin Nunez might get the nod up front, you know, and then it could be between maybe Jota plays on the left, maybe Luis Diaz gets a start because he came on as a sub and got 10 minutes last night. It's a difficult one. And on free hit, you obviously want players, you don't want to take risks, right? You want players that are going to play. But if I was going to pick one, I think I'd go with Darwin Nunez. What do you think?
It's difficult because I feel like Darwin Nunez, he likes the space in behind and he likes to have space to run. And I'm not necessarily sure Nottingham Forest are going to give that to you. It feels very much to me like a Luis Diaz type of game. Someone who's going to have that trickery in tight spaces, who's going to be able to get in and around defenders when there's a lot of them around there. But I don't necessarily think he's going to be thrown straight back into it after having been out for a while. So it is very difficult. Interesting, again, on free hit, they're going to be very popular. But Liverpool feel like one of those teams, if you are not on free hit, are very, very much at the top of the teams that we should be investing at the moment. Because, of course, they play with a great fixture at home to Nottingham Forest in game week 32. They then have West Ham away in game week 33. And then they go into the double in game week 34. So one of the only teams that play this week and then have the double in game week 34. So if you don't have any Liverpool, you only have one, it's probably worth looking at one of the teams that's worth investing in because of the short-term fixtures, the doubling game week 34, and their fixtures further down the line as well. So if you don't own Salah, if you don't own Trent, they're probably top priority buys, in my opinion, if you have free hit or if you don't have them as well.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. So Trent and Salah are going to be in for me on the free hit in 32. The challenge I'm going to have is that when I get my team back in game week 33, because obviously, as we know, game week 32, the free hit chip, you're going to bring in, you know, whichever squad you want. You can bring in whichever players you want. And then when the free hit expires in game week 33, you get, inverted commas, your old team back. And I won't have any Liverpool players in my game week 33 team. So I'm pretty sure, I don't like booking in transfers in FPL, but I'm pretty sure that Liverpool are going to feature in my game week 33 transfer plans. Let's move on from Liverpool a bit then, Harry, and move to another team that have been very impressive since their new managers come in. Roy Hodgson doing a very good job at Crystal Palace. Three wins now back to back to put them, you know, if not safe in the Premier League, then in a far safer position than they were three game weeks ago. Eze, who's only 5.5 million in FPL. And another one that's going to feature heavily, I would suggest, in free hit 32 squads, popped up with a couple of goals. But there was plenty of players that sort of caught my eye from an FPL perspective. Who's on your watch list?
Again, Crystal Palace, a nice team to be investing in. They look like they're playing very, very well at the moment. I have to say, I didn't necessarily expect it when Roy Hodgson came in, and I'm not sure that many people did expect Crystal Palace to be turning up and particularly scoring goals the way they are under Roy Hodgson. And it feels like, again, the shackles are off. It looks like they are just allowed to play. They're safe. They're not really going to have that much to play for. So he's gone and allowed the likes of Eze, the likes of Elise to go and do what we all sort of knew they were able to do, but we haven't seen it consistently for them. It is particularly that attack that I do like, and those two that I mentioned in Elise and Eze that I'm really looking at. Defensively as well, I think Everton at home in game week 32 is not a bad fixture at all. And those of you, you know, on a free hit looking at trying to fill that defence, which it does feel a little bit like we're trying to do on that free hit. There's no defences which really particularly pick themselves that easily, particularly enough to get three defenders and a goalkeeper out. A lot of us might end up with a Crystal Palace option at home to Everton, and I quite like them. Picking between the defenders is much of a muchness. If you look at Anderson, if you look at Gehi, look at Mitchell, you could go Johnson in goal, who's currently filling in for Gaita. It feels very much of a muchness. There's not that much attacking threat there. The bonus potential is very similar at the moment. I currently have Sam Johnson in my free hit, but I do like them defensively. And it's, as you said, going forward as well, it's Eze versus Elise, and maybe recency bias with the two goals at the weekend is making me want to favour going with Eze. Feel like slightly more goal threat there, but it's very close and it could be either of them that get the points this week. How about you? Is it attack only? Again, defence feels like they're just sort of a place filler with the fixture this week on free hit.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. I agree with you on Sam Johnson, by the way. Only 4.4, isn't he? So if you are building a free hit where you're kind of scrimping and saving your FPL pounds, I'm not, by the way. I'm putting my free hit drafts together. I'd be interested to hear on Twitter or anywhere else how everybody else is doing that's free hitting in 32. Is money an option or is it even an issue? For me, it doesn't feel like it. It feels like I can have whoever I want in this team, which is a nice position to be in. But Sam Johnson at 4.4, budget keeper from that perspective, I think picked up a couple of bonus points at the weekend, a few saves as well in there. So from an FPL perspective, that's exactly what we want. But yeah, you're right. I'm kind of looking at Crystal Palace and in particular looking at Everton and saying, well, Sean Dyche hasn't really tightened them up in the way that I thought he might do when he first came to the club, Sean Dyche. I mean, they've allowed 12 goals in the five away matches that they've had. So, you know, over two goals a game there. I'm back in Crystal Palace, who obviously found a little bit of form under Hodgson in the last three to get some goals. So Eze, yeah, I mean, obviously front of mind, right, because of the two goals at the weekend. But I have to say, Michael Olise, who is about the same price, they might even be exactly the same price. They're both in the sort of £5.5 million bracket. He was kind of unlucky not to get some returns at the weekend. I think he had a goal out, ruled out for offside, free kick hit the post, etc. So being on free kicks, being on set pieces, given he carries a little bit of goal threat as well, I would say probably if you looked at them side by side, Eze probably carries more of a goal threat, more of an XG threat than Olise does. But Elise's underlying XA, his underlying expected assist data, is particularly good. And of course, that's being fed by the fact he's on set pieces and corners, etc., etc. There's definitely a conversation to be had there. And even, I mean, listen, you might want to go for both against that Everton side that, like I say, has been leaky away from home. What do you feel about that? Do you think Eze and Elise, or are you going to kind of pick one? And if you do, which one would you go for? It sort of sounds like you're leaning towards Eze.
Yeah, but if we have this conversation after their 5-1 win in game week 30, Elise picked up a hat-trick and assist that, and Eze, he scored, but it's only one goal compared to three assists. So you'd be then thinking, well, maybe Elise is the one to go with because he's so involved. And it is how quickly these conversations can change. It is probably worth having a conversation again about the double up. We are getting to the point of the season that there will be people who are not where they want to be in their mini leagues. They're not where they want to be in the overall rank. And is it time to be potentially looking to chase a little bit more, potentially looking to have a few more differentials in around your team? And I don't necessarily hate the idea of a midfield double up on Crystal Palace to try and do that this week. As you said, Everton leaking goals, Elise looking great for that creativity, for set pieces, Eze slightly more from open play. If I had to pick one, I would definitely be on Eze, I think, just that goal threat. He did score again in that game week 30 fixture, then two again in game week 31. Just feels like he's very involved, particularly with Wilfred Zaha likely to be remaining out for game week 32. So I would probably put Eze first, but I think I'm going to have at least one Crystal Palace player, probably a defensive player as well, because that looks like a really nice fixture. And it's probably a fixture that those are not on free hit are unlikely to invest in, and it might be one of those places that those free hitters can try and take a little bit of advantage of, try and gain a little bit of ground in, because as you say, I'm predicting a Crystal Palace win in this one given recent form of both teams.
Yeah, you're right. And I think, yeah, if you are free hitting in 32, taking advantage of Palace, given that Crystal Palace don't double in 34, so other FPL managers might not necessarily be looking at Crystal Palace. Having said that, Harry, I mean, look at these fixtures. Everton, Wolves, West Ham, and then it's an away game against Spurs. We've got to cover Spurs again in a second. Bournemouth, Fulham, Nottingham Forest. I mean, the run-in for Palace, it looks really good, doesn't it? And we spoke before, and I remember looking back, if you cast your mind back all the way to game week one, I remember looking at the period of games where they just come, you know, either side of Christmas, difficult looking run. And of course, at the end of that run, they didn't pick up many points. Patrick Vieira gets the chop. But of course, with bad fixtures, now flip the coin over, they've now got this run of sensational fixtures, haven't they? In all games where, you know, with this confidence that they seem to have under Hodgson over the last three games, they could take that between now and the end of the season. So although I agree with you that free hitters, game week 32 free hitters can steal potentially a bit of a march on those that aren't by bringing in Crystal Palace players, you've got to be looking at Palace between now and the end of the season as reasonable transfers in. Never mind the free hit, you'd be looking at them for the longer term between now and the end of the season, wouldn't you? Or do you think they'll pick up a couple of wins here or there in the next 2 to 3 weeks and maybe take their foot off the pedal knowing that they're safe?
I think they're good investments between now and the end of the season. Of course, I'm very much a double game week type FPL manager, yeah, and same. I am looking towards game week 34 and who's got a double there and who might have a double predicted before the end of the season as well after game week 34. And Crystal Palace, of course, don't fall into any of those buckets. So as much as I love their form, as much as I really rate the way that Eze and Elise are playing, with a free hit this week, it does feel like it gives me a nice opportunity to go and invest them and then think, they don't double in game week 34. I don't really need to hold on to them. But there are people who invested in Crystal Palace this week, for example, despite them not having a double, yeah, and they would have been paid off very nicely as well, particularly those who went and bought Eze. So it might be one of those that, again, we get blinkered by these double game weeks and we go and ignore these single game week teams who continue to perform really, really well and we don't end up buying them. But that is the bracket I feel like I'm going to fall into once again of probably not looking at them that much because I'm more focused on buying in teams that play twice in game week 34 and that maybe have something a bit more to play for between now and the end of the season as well. So I like them, but I think I'm probably only going to be looking on free hit.
Yeah, I think I'm probably in the same camp as you there, Harry. But then another team that fit that profile. So we're talking about Crystal Palace, nice fixture in 32, no double in 34. So can you take advantage of it on the free hit in 32 and good fixtures throughout the rest of the season? You know, ditto Bournemouth, right? Bournemouth are in the exact same position as Crystal Palace are, similar, right, in terms of fighting for their lives down there at the bottom of the Premier League, but have found a bit of form. I think that's 5 wins in the last 9 now for O'Neill and the boys at Bournemouth. West Ham at home, a decent looking fixture in 32. Okay, no double in 34, but it's Leeds at home who, you know, having their own troubles at the bottom of the league and seem to be doing all right in the first sort of 30 to 40 minutes of games and then sort of capitulating. We saw it against Liverpool last night. We've seen it against Arsenal recently. Yeah, Bournemouth, what are we saying about them? And in particular, their front man, Dom Solanke, who was a brilliant differential for you this week. I know you want to talk about him. So where else would you be going in the Bournemouth side? I mean, Dom Solanke looks, if not locked in game week 32 free hits, he's looking like a very good pick indeed. But where else might you go with Bournemouth?
Yeah, so on Solanke, he has been looking really good. And actually, his underlying numbers as well have also started to look a lot better. Yes. And I have to say, the addition of the expected goals and expected assists on the FPL website has been a great help.
It's great,
to me. It's something that I quickly scan, particularly before I make sort of transfers. And he's been putting up sort of close to one expected goal or assist over all of the past 4 games, which is really high, particularly where maybe we would expect Bournemouth to be and maybe where we expect them to be in terms of goal scoring as well. But as you say, 3 wins in their last 5, looking a lot safer in the Premier League compared to where they were before that run started. And Solanke has really been part of the focal point in that. Of course, the goal and 2 assists at the weekend as well. The other one that I do like, if you don't have a space in your forward line or you're not on free hit and you don't necessarily want to make a forward transfer, is Philip Billing.
Yeah.
He seems very hit and miss in terms of his FPL points. But again, he scored a decent amount of goals recently. And when he does score, he often returns bonus points as well. So all 3 of his last 3 goals have returned maximum bonus points, despite one of the games coming in involving 5 goals in as well. So to get 1 goal in a match that has 5 goals and still return maximum bonus points is a pretty good statistic for him. It's also worth mentioning that West Ham have quite a lot of fixtures to play. They also play European football in a 1-1 tie, yeah, going in on Thursday night as well. So it's a bit unsure about exactly how that's going to impact them. I think it impacted them in the first 30 minutes against Arsenal, and then they looked like they had a whole new lease of life for the second half of the game. But again, it might have a little bit of impact depending on how much West Ham rotate that one. But it does feel like particularly a Solanke or a Billing, again, is quite a nice way on free hit to necessarily take a punt on a team that people not on free hit might not be investing in that heavily as well. So I think Solanke is currently in my draft. If I find that I don't necessarily have enough forward spots available, because there are a lot of good forwards in FPL at the moment, Philip Billing is probably in there. Defensively, I probably don't trust them enough. Neto in goal to compete with Sam Johnson is probably the only one that I would look at because of saves, things like that as well. But defensively, I'm not sure I trust them enough with clean sheets, particularly because West Ham have been starting to score a few more goals recently. So it's mainly an attack, but I could opt for a potential Neto to get that upside, that chance that he gets a big haul.
Yeah, it's probably going to be Dominic Solanke only for me, I'd say, Harry. I hear you on Philip Billing, and yes, whenever he scores, he gets bonus points. But I think my midfield, certainly on that free hit, is going to be full of Liverpool and Arsenal. And, you know, we've mentioned Olise and Eze from Crystal Palace. So in that forward line, I think it's going to be Dom Solanke. And it's that short-term form, isn't it? Since game week 28, no player has registered more shots in the box than him. He's had 18 shots in the box. So absolutely getting in and around those areas where we want him from an FPL perspective. And actually, when the other half of FPL family, Sam, when she and I spoke about him on our live stream on Sunday, I was all in favour of going for Dominic Solanke over Harry Kane on the free hit in 32. Now, obviously, Harry Kane will come back into my team in 33, but I was considering going without Harry Kane in my game week 32 free hit, mainly because I find it very difficult to call that Newcastle versus Spurs game. Neither side really has much form necessarily going into game week 32. What's your thoughts on that fixture? But give us it in the context of what we've just seen, because Spurs really not a very good performance in the weekend just gone. And Newcastle going to Villa Park and getting soundly beaten by Ollie Watkins and co. So two teams that are kind of out of form. I'm finding that fixture very difficult to call, and therefore on my free hit in 32, I'm likely to kind of stay away and not pick any players from either side. What about you?
Yeah, that Tottenham result was really, I don't think, what we expected. A lot of people with Harry Kane in their team were targeting this fixture quite a lot. And then, you know, they score twice. How many times did Tottenham score twice and it not end up being Harry Kane involved in, right, in any of it, goal or assist? It doesn't feel like it happens very often. And it did get to the point quite late on in the game where we saw Harry Kane playing that quarterback role a little bit, and it was the likes of Son, it was the likes of Richarlison being further forward as well. So it does concern me a little bit. However, as we said, Newcastle didn't defend particularly well in game week 31 as well, particularly a great performance from Aston Villa. I think don't take it away from quite how well they are playing and quite how well Unai Emery has got them playing at the moment. And we might really talk about some of their really assets good to get in our free hits this week as well. But yeah, Newcastle-Tottenham is very difficult. And a lot of people looking at their teams on free hit and not on free hit, with Kieran Trippier in particular and Harry Kane both in it, and thinking, I find this game very difficult to call. So then, as you say, you pose the question for people on free hit, do you A, just go for both and think, well, if you have Trippier or you have Kane, you're going to end up with one of them getting something? Do you go with one of them and try and predict how the game is going to go? But as you say, the game is very difficult to call. You probably would still expect Spurs to score, but if they don't, then Trippier's going to end up with a whole host of points and bonus points as well, most likely we've seen this season. Or as you say, you just completely ignore it and you go for other players that might have a little bit more potential for bigger hauls than you might say for the likes of Harry Kane away at Newcastle, the Dominic Solankes, the Ollie Watkins, the Gabriel Jesus's of the world that we might look at in our forward line for free hit. So I currently have Kieran Trippier in there just because of the attacking threat that he generally has. Plus, I am expecting a bit of a wounded Newcastle to come back into this game. But I think probably come the deadline, I might end to opt elsewhere. The only issue is, as I said, there's not loads of great defenders, which is probably why I've ended up with Trippier in my team rather than Harry Kane and trying to predict that game that way. So I've got Trippier in there, but if you have enough defenders in your free hit that you don't want him, I think ignoring that game is definitely not a bad way to go. It does just leave you a little bit bare at the bones comparing you to non-free hit teams who are likely to be very invested in this game.
A real lack of intensity from Spurs, wasn't there, at the weekend? And the more forward players they threw into the mix, and Stellini, he really was chucking them on at the end, wasn't he, to try and salvage something from that game. And then they did. They got the draw and then lost it again. So that's gonna take its toll on that Spurs team, I think, particularly at home. The home fans not happy at the end, I can tell you. I guess the one shining light, I guess, from a Spurs perspective is maybe Son Heung-min. Going to be expensive in FPL, 11.6 million, as we know. 3 goals, 1 assist in his last 5. Can I tempt you or no?
Well, we are actually starting to see, and I noticed it in a press conference, they mentioned about how Kulusevski is playing a little bit more of a midfield role than actually it being a true front three, which then means we're back to the Harry Kane and Heung-min Son front two that we've seen be quite so successful for Spurs in recent seasons. So I don't necessarily think this form is going to stop if they do continue to play that, because it allows Son to run in behind. It allows him to get into those spaces that we've seen Son be so good and so clinical before. I don't necessarily think away at Newcastle there's going to be that much time for those passes, that much space. I think Newcastle tend to cut those out and defend pretty well.
Good at home as well, aren't they, Newcastle?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't necessarily think I'm going to go investing in him. But again, if you're looking for a differential, I don't think this is just a flash in the pan form. I think it is a little bit more of a system change that is looking like it's benefiting Son quite a lot.
Difficult to invest in them full stop, though, I think. You know, Newcastle away, as you rightly say, is a difficult game. They've got Manchester United at home, which I know it's at home, but listen, that's the Spurs faithful are starting to lose a bit of patience, I think, with the way that they're playing and the fact that Stellini hasn't really changed much from the Antonio Conte era, still playing the same sort of style, etc. Then no double in 34. You know, actually, it's a trip to Anfield in 34, so a difficult-looking game before the fixtures get a little bit better from 35 into the end of the season. So would we even consider selling Harry Kane? I mean, I don't think I'm going to go with him in my forward line for game week 32, as I've suggested, because of some of the other options. We're going to talk about some of those other options in just a second, not least the one you touched on a second ago, Ollie Watkins, who is in sensational form. But given his ownership in FPL right now, he is a difficult sell, isn't he, Harry Kane? And he has, you know, he's got some credit in the bank. He spent most of this season ticking points over, and if not being mega explosive, then he often pops up with the goal and some bonus points and, you know, bags that 6, 7, 8 pointer on a sort of fairly regular basis. Is he a sell now, though, Harry? Could you get rid of Harry Kane?
Yeah, so I actually sold him a few weeks ago, and I think we might see quite a lot of managers decide over the next few weeks, particularly going into game week 33 and then that game week 34, looking to sell him and particularly to try and make way for Mo Salah. Now, of course, the majority of us, if not all of us, have Erling Haaland in our team, and he's unlikely to be going anywhere anytime soon. So if you are then looking to add Mo Salah on top of that, it feels very, very difficult, particularly with the form that Trent's in as well, to be going and having Salah, Harry Kane and Erling Haaland. So selling Harry Kane in order to go and buy an upgrade, a midfielder in order to go and buy Mo Salah, does feel like it's going to be very popular going into game week 34. And it is probably a move that I would look to do. Of course, selling Harry Kane before he has a fixture in game week 32, if you're not on free hit, doesn't necessarily make sense to me. But going into game week 33 and going into game week 34, I think there will be a bit of movement away from him. And he is in a lot of teams, so it'll probably be the easiest way for people to find money to go and buy Mo Salah in.
Yeah, I think you could be right. So Harry Kane may be to fund a move to Salah and others in midfield, but that means that you'll have a space free in your forward line to fill that Harry Kane void. Look no further, if you haven't got him already, than Aston Villa's Ollie Watkins. 16 points over the weekend, but now we're seeing that consistency that we haven't seen from Ollie Watkins in the past. You mentioned it before, Unai Emery doing a brilliant job at Aston Villa. So dare we overlook him for our free hit 32 squads? I must admit, he's in my team. He's been in there for a few weeks. I then look at free hit 32 and I think, well, I want Gabriel Jesus. Who else might I want? Dominic Solanke, we've mentioned. There's a whole host of forwards that I'd quite like, but there's no way I'm going to take out Ollie Watkins right now. He is in sensational form, and free hit or not, he's got to be in your team.
Yeah, I agree. Particularly, you know, scoring however many points, 16 points, as he did against Newcastle. We all actually looked at that fixture and think, okay, this is the first real test that I feel like he's had. And he absolutely blew them away, particularly a team that we expect to be very good defensively. So you might look at Brentford away and think, oh, that's not necessarily the easiest fixture, although they've not been particularly good defensively as of late as well. A lot of us investing in their defence recently are not returning points unless his name is David Raya, who seems to be making an unbelievable amount of saves every single game he plays at the moment. But yeah, I don't think that's necessarily a bad fixture. Of course, it's not at home, which maybe you'd prefer, but I feel like Ollie Watkins is the forward to be having at the moment. The number two outside of Erling Haaland, it just feels like doesn't even come into the conversation because we all have him and of how good he's been. But yeah, after that, it feels like Ollie Watkins in your free hit. I can't see any way that he's not in there.
Where else, though, Harry? Because Aston Villa themselves, I mean, it's not all about Ollie Watkins. Sensational performance at the weekend, but his movement and the connection and understanding he's got with those three midfielders, Ramsey, McGinn, and in particular, Emi Buendia, it's just working, isn't it? And Unai Emery has got them working. It's clicking to the benefit mostly of Ollie Watkins, it must be said. But are there any other options that you might go for in that Aston Villa side? And in particular, I'm interested in your view in Moreno as well, because Moreno, I think, has been very good, passing the eye test for me over the last few weeks. Anybody that you would pair Ollie Watkins with on the free hit in 32, or indeed bring them in for your FPL team going forward into 33, 34?
Yeah, Moreno, I feel like, is the one. I think he's really benefiting from starting to get a consistent run of form in that team. The Luka Dean time in our FPL teams feels like it's finally coming to an end, and we are seeing Alex Moreno really hitting the ground running in that Aston Villa team. He works very well because Jacob Ramsey out on that left wing tends to come quite central. He tends to drift inside, which means that Alex Moreno has the whole of that left-hand side of the pitch to be going and getting up, which is where his assist came from in that 3-0 win. And actually about 5 minutes before he got that assist, he also assisted Ollie Watkins, which was ruled out for a marginal offside. So that could have been two assists for him. The way he's getting up that left-hand side, the clean sheet potential, you know, shout out the likes of Tyrone Mings, who are defending really well at the moment. Mm. You've got Martinez in goal, also playing very well. So not that the defence aren't playing well, but I think Moreno is the one that I would be looking to invest him. He's currently in my free hit, but not quite starting yet because I haven't quite made a decision on the likes of Moreno versus Trippier. But I think he's really good. I think his assist potential is great. He got a bonus point at the weekend again because of clean sheet and assist as well. If I was going to double up on them, I probably would end up on Moreno. I just still think Ivan Toney still hasn't got his ban yet. So Ivan Toney at home, Brentford at home, they do tend to score goals, which is putting me off that Aston Villa defence just a little bit.
Mm, yeah, although they do sit third for expected goals conceded in the last six matches, Aston Villa. So, yeah, we're all focused on Watkins. We're all focused on their attacking verve. But, yeah, defensively, he's really improved them as well. Like you say, Tyrone Mings on a different level right now. Really, really good. To keep that Newcastle side out at the weekend was very impressive. Let's talk about Arsenal, though. Let's go there. Let's talk about the Gunners, because that's now back-to-back draws for Arsenal. So, from their perspective, I would suggest that's very much 4 points drop, because they were 2-0 up in both of those games against Liverpool and against West Ham at the weekend. So what's going on with Arsenal? They seem to start games first 30, 35 minutes like a house on fire. Did against Liverpool, didn't they, and blew us away. Did the same against West Ham, as you suggested earlier in the pod, Harry, and then sort of found their feet a little bit. The opposition found their feet a little bit. West Ham started to play well. Liverpool got back into that game, could have won it with the Salah missed penalty, obviously, a couple of weeks ago. But Arsenal, though, how are you going to invest in them in 32? I still think, given the fixture, because they've got Southampton at home, and it couldn't probably be any better than that on paper, I still think it's three of them. But which three?
Yeah, I agree. We did see these sort of big early leads in the early games for Arsenal earlier on in the season, but it feels like they are getting to the point where they're going 2-3-0 up in the past couple. And then I don't know what it is. It feeling like they get a little bit complacent. I don't want to take it away from West Ham and how well they played, but it did feel half an hour into the game that they had dominated it so much, almost a City level of domination that we've seen them do in games. But they don't necessarily go and get that third goal. And we are actually seeing it with Manchester City recently, where Pep doesn't want to struggle with a 2-0. He doesn't feel like 2-0 is comfortable enough. He takes his foot off the gas once they go and get that third goal, because if the opposition drag one back, 3-1 is still pretty comfortable. But we haven't seen Arsenal necessarily getting that third goal, which they were doing early on in the season. As you say, on free hit, I'm pretty likely, or I'm almost certainly, going to end up with three of them in my team. But I do worry about their defensive form. So at the moment, I have three of their attackers in my free hit. Defensively, they have been leaking goals, again, two here, two last week as well. Southampton are not a team that are free-flowing in attacks. If you have a defender, absolutely do not worry about them. But I do just feel a little bit that there's a lot more upside with their attackers to try and fill my free hit with, that I don't need to be taking a risk on their defense at the moment. So Martinelli, for me, is an absolute lock in my team. The way he's playing with Jesus back in the team, he's definitely going to be in there.
Yeah, so good.
I think Jesus is likely to be in there as well. I think with them needing to win every game, no other competitions, he's just going to be in there, despite how well Trossard did in that role while he was out. The third one is a little bit more difficult. I think it's likely to still end up on Bukayo Saka, despite the missed penalties recently, whether he'll keep them, whether Gabriel Jesus might take them, because he, of course, scored one while Saka wasn't on the pitch. I predict that Saka probably will end up keeping them, looking at Arteta's comments. But I think I'm going to go triple and attack, and I think it's going to be the two wingers in Saka and Martinelli and then Jesus up front, and just hope they put that third or fourth goal past Southampton on Friday night.
I think I agree with you. Although, going back to something you said earlier in the podcast, we do have kind of a wealth of options in that midfield, don't we? We've spoken about, you know, which Liverpool assets we might go with to go with maybe Trent and Salah. We've spoken about Elise and Eze on maybe the double up. So I just wonder whether, you know, whether that wealth of options in midfield and maybe the sort of slight lack of them in defence on free hit, we're struggling to get three or four, I would suggest, names on paper. Maybe Gabriel is the one to go to. And I think if I was going to go there, it probably would be him. I can't look past Arsenal at home to, you know, a Southampton side that really are struggling under Ruben Selles, aren't they? Defensively and offensively. So I do fancy Arsenal for the clean sheet. But yeah, if they're going to score three, four, maybe even more goals, then the ceiling for points for defenders is likely to be six, unless Gabriel pops up from a set piece, which of course can happen. So yeah, if they're gonna score plenty of goals, it's going to be the forwards that get those goals and get the bonus points. So for me, Martinelli feels like a lock for me. Yeah, no doubt. And the second choice, I probably would go with Gabriel Jesus. I'm with you. I've been so impressed with him actually since he's come back into the team, because often, you know, a player that's been out for some time with an injury needs that match fitness. He needs that rhythm to come back in the team. Needs to sort of gel back in with the players again. You know, not a bit of it. It's just come straight back in and looks the real deal again, like he did earlier on in the season, and getting amongst the goals and the FPL points. So those two will be in. Yeah, difficult with that third one. It's difficult. At the moment, in the first free hit draft that I've put together, it's Bukayo Saka. I've gone with the three of them just because I fancy some attacking output against a pretty sorry looking Saints. But, you know, should I get to game week 32 deadline and I need somebody in that back line, it could be that I go with a Liverpool midfielder instead, or I double up on the Palace midfield and I go with Gabriel instead at the back. But right now, Martinelli and Gabriel Jesus, both locks in my team, no doubt. Let's finish up, Harry, by talking about your free hit in 32. Now, like, if you're like me, you'll have done a few drafts already. Who are the players, who are the top three or four players that haven't left any of your drafts? Who are the locks? You've mentioned a couple there in terms of Martinelli, maybe Gabriel Jesus. Give me your top three or four picks for a free hit 32.
God, you said let's finish up by talking about your, and I thought it was going to be your team in Chelsea, and I'm glad I don't have to
save
come
you from
on
that this week potentially.
Yeah, I'm glad we don't have to talk about them again on this podcast.
No,
absolutely not. in terms of the locks, I think Salah's definitely going to be in there. Trent will be in there. I'll have triple Liverpool, so there will be a third one. I'll have three Arsenal, probably end up being the three attackers that I said. And then Ollie Watkins, those are probably the ones that I'm looking at and that are definitely going to be in there. So that's already up to seven. It only leaves four spots elsewhere, but I'm pretty happy with those. And I do feel like that Liverpool fixture and that Arsenal fixture are the ones that you look at on paper and think those are the ones that are going to be attacked. How about you?
Yeah, well, I, as usual with the free hit, and I do this every season, I look at my 15 and I think, wow, I'm on a free hit, so I feel therefore obliged to change everybody. And I immediately took that 15 out, put a new 15 in, and everyone had changed. And I thought, you know, I looked at it in the cold light of day. I said, well, actually, you know, my team as it is, obviously I've got a lot of Brighton in there. I've got some Man United. Rashford is still in there. Obviously Haaland and Grealish from Man City. So I've got plenty of blanks in there. But of the players that have got fixtures, there's a few in there that, you know, I might want to stick around. So Ollie Watkins is one, Saka's another, right? Trippier's another potentially. So my advice to anybody that is free hitting in game week 32 wouldn't be to necessarily make wholesale changes for the sake of it. If there are players that you've bought in because of the form that they're in and you've got them in your FPL team for a reason, you know, stick with them. But nevertheless, there are still quite a few changes. I don't see me taking out Martinelli. I don't see me taking out Mo Salah. And I don't see me, on the back of yesterday, taking out Trent Alexander-Arnold either. I am going to have one of either Eze or Elise in my midfield as well, because, as you mentioned before, taking advantage of that Crystal Palace fixture at home to Everton, given that I don't think a lot of FPL managers are going to go there because of the lack of double in 34, they'll be looking elsewhere. So while they're looking that way, I'm going to look this way and look at getting Eze or Elise. So I've got about four of them locked in, Harry. I wouldn't necessarily say any more than that. Even the likes of Gabriel Jesus, Solanke, I still got a bit of a thing about Darwin. You know, am I mad taking out Harry Kane out of my draft, et cetera, et cetera. So there's three or four that I'm pretty locked in with. But outside of that, a lot of debate to be had still, I think, over the next week or so.
Yeah, absolutely. It is, there are those sort of final touches to the sides of it. Trying to predict that Liverpool front line as well is going to be the hardest part of it. Finally, is it Mo Salah for captaincy, given the form that he showed on Monday night? Can I tempt you with the likes of Trent Alexander-Arnold? Because a clean sheet for him and an assist for him will be, you know, bonus points galore. Is it a Martinelli at home to Southampton, or are we going back to the old faithful in Mo Salah?
Yeah, difficult, isn't it? Because as soon as you put your free hit team together, by definition, you're like, well, I've got 11 players that I really like there. So picking a captain is very difficult. And I think 20 to 25 minutes into the game last night that I was watching Leeds versus Liverpool, Salah was a little bit on the periphery of the game. And I kind of had this thing in my head about, well, maybe I don't go with Mo. Maybe I stick with Arsenal, go with Saka or Martinelli. But came to the fore, didn't he? Came to the fore. And even with Trent coming inside in that sort of inverted central midfield, like I say, in the first half an hour, Salah was a bit too wide for my liking. Wasn't necessarily involved in the game, but sort of found a way to get into that game. So that cutting inside that we see from Salah so often. Listen, I guess we have to talk about the opposition a little bit as well, and the fact that Leeds kind of allowed Liverpool to find their stride. They stood off a little bit, sat back a little bit, and invited Liverpool and they invited Salah on. But yeah, listen, he popped up with a couple of goals. And of course, you know, Liverpool away from home, it was really good as a Liverpool fan to see us put in that sort of performance away from home. Going back to Anfield now against the team in Nottingham Forest, who I know they're fighting for their lives at the bottom of the league there, but are a little bit out of form over the last few fixtures, conceding a lot of goals as well. I'm probably going to stick it on Old Faithful. I'm going to go back to Mo Salah. What about you?
Yeah, I think so. Just the form that you showed last night away from home, and again, going back to Anfield against Nottingham Forest, I think that's going to be where I probably end up. Plus, Arsenal, the first game of the game week on a Friday night. Everyone hates to have their captain play in the first game as well.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. You don't want your captain flopping in the first game. It makes the rest of the weekend so difficult to watch, doesn't it?
Exactly. So yeah, I think it will end up on Mo Salah, but it feels like both of us have got a reasonable amount of tinkering to do, particularly in terms of those Liverpool spots, those Crystal Palace spots as well. There will, of course, be an FPL pod back later on in the week, which will aim to help all you FPL managers with your selections for blank games. Game week 32, whether you are on free hit or whether you are not, they'll look at who to buy, who to sell, and who are the best players to be owning for that week. Thanks, Lee, and see you all next time.
Good to speak to you, Harry. Good luck, guys.